Hey guys, welcome to a Christmas edition of the Leadership to Wealth podcast. Here we go. Ho, ho, ho. What are we talking about? Everyone's thinking about Christmas. And so we're going to talk about the spending that's going on, the debt levels that people are carrying, the credit card spending, and we're going to get into the mindset around that and perhaps even some changes that you can make to make a difference on your spending this Christmas. The latest survey reveals that 60% of people say they will spend less on gifts this holiday season due to financial pressures brought on by inflation. And 41% of people, up from 36% last year, say they will limit their holiday spending because they are already in too much debt. Okay, guys, here's what this actually is pointing out. What this did was we won some people over to spending more wisely, to considering last year was 36%, this year it's 41%. We got more people that are willing to think about their finances. Hooray, Canada, let's keep going. We want more people to figure this out, that maybe it's not about how much you're spending. And here's the other opportunity from a business mindset, just to an investor mindset. That means, according to these numbers, if there's 41% of people that are gonna limit their spending, that means that there's 59% of people that are not going to. We're talking about 59% of people that are gonna overspend, which means that they're gonna be in trouble. And that's an opportunity. When these people are being greedy, it's gonna put them in hot water. You're gonna see people that are gonna default on their mortgages. They're going to default on their bills. It means that there's going to be opportunities out there for whether you're perhaps lending money, whether you're looking to pick up real estate, whether you want to try to buy stocks cheaper, or go to autotrader.com right now or autotrader.ca and go see how many vehicles are up for sale because people are offloading the vehicles that they couldn't afford. And you can buy vehicles that you wouldn't have been able to afford, but now they're cheaper because people have had to offload them. And these numbers are telling us it's going to be even more. Let's go. Money flows from people that don't know how to use it to people that know how to acquire it.
We will pay for these decisions, I'm going to say as early as the summer of 2024. That might be a bit of a push, but, you know, generally speaking, it takes a while for a financial problem to really ramp up. So, but we'll pay for this. We'll pay for it with higher inflation rates. We'll pay for it with more leaner future Christmases. You know, I would wonder if Christmas 2023 is going to be generous. It will be curious to know what Christmas 2024 would be like.
What advice would you give to someone who's looking ahead to Christmas now? We have Black Friday coming up this week. What advice would you give to someone as they're planning out their Christmas shopping?
If you do not have cash, do not spend it. It's that simple, it's that cut and dry. You know, the cost is, you have to build the cost credit into the cost. You have to, otherwise you're lying to yourself. I was making the point to another individual in the media recently that it often takes 20 years to clear out debt. So if I'm going to go to the Irving station and fill my car with gas, and by the time I get that paid off on my line of credit, if that's 10 years down the road, what's a tank of gas cost me? Significant. And you know, we have to be aware of the fact that when you buy on credit, you increase the cost of whatever it is you're buying.
There's two ways to look at this. There's the consumer perspective, which is really what he's talking about and talking to. That is, if you don't have it, don't spend it, because otherwise you're always going to have to work to pay the bills for the stuff that you bought, is basically what he's trying to say. And why is credit cards so prevalent? It's because everyone can keep it a secret. You don't have to let people know that you don't actually have the cash for it. And then you get to a point where it just feels like that's part of your money. And so now people don't even feel bad that they're carrying all of this debt, all of this interest charges, that they're paying so much just to carry this sort of lifestyle. And you're always having to earn more, make more, just to be able to pay for the life that you previously lived. You're not even living that right now. The other side of it is to look at it from a perspective, perhaps from a business perspective or from an investment mindset. And that is, you always want to live off of credit in that sense, because every time you borrow, that money is non-taxable. And so from an investor standpoint, a business standpoint, you're trying to consider, how can I get my investments to be able to create loans, create credit, such that that's paying for my lifestyle? So there's two ways to look at credit and debt. Those are two ways to really look at it. One makes you poorer. The other makes you richer.
There's room to breathe out here. Despite working three jobs, Stephanie Moist was struggling to pay bills. So she cut costs and stress by moving from a $1,500 rental in the city to a family home in rural Newfoundland.
I'll have zero in my bank account, but I'm not going to let it get to me.
As a single mom, it's nothing new for Moist to have several gigs to keep up with the cost of living. But lately, things just seem tougher.
Gas has been pretty good. Knock on wood. But groceries and heating and et cetera, et cetera. And we're all just kind of flatlining with our salaries right now.
Canadians everywhere are performing this balancing act, and it shows in new national data. Here's how it breaks down. For every dollar of disposable income, Canadian households have $1.82 in debt. But it's how much of our income we're using to manage that debt that's alarming. For every dollar of disposable income, 15 cents goes to paying off debt. That's a record.
Those interest rate hikes have been so fast, and people are, as people renew their mortgages, they're now having to pay more out of their income, which is just not keeping pace.
So Sam, let's walk through how people are actually keeping up with the high debt payments.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because those new numbers, Adrian, do technically show disposable income went up, but it's not because people are doing really well. It's mostly because Canadians can't afford to take on more debt, so they're not. Now, in the meantime, financial counselors are advising go back to basics with your budget, right? But they do acknowledge cutting out those little luxuries like going downtown for a bite to eat might not be enough. They're saying they're seeing more people take on side hustles just to stay afloat.
People have got disposable income. You don't have disposable income. That's the lie in what you're hearing. It's not disposable income. If you've got $1.82 in debt, then you having $1 is not disposable income. That $1 should be paying off the debt. You don't have money to dispose of. These are some of the lies that we believe. Oh, your disposable income. If you've got all this debt, you don't have disposable income. You've got all this debt. So what you're saying is, I've got money to pay my debts, but I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to rent that credit from you. Guys, I'm in private lending. This is what we do. You mortgages, this is what you do. It is renting out money. So what you're doing is you're renting out that credit, which means just as if you did the same thing with your house, if you never pay off the interest, then you actually never own the house. You got to get all that interest and principal paid off. Then you actually own it. Except when you have a credit card, when you pay all of that off, you still don't own anything. You got to make up your mind about what you want. When we're looking at a person that's got several jobs, at what point does it occur to you that maybe that's not the way? Maybe there's something else that needs to change. Oftentimes, people work harder for their jobs than they do for themselves. If you're going to work and you're working really hard, when you come home, that's an opportunity for you to grow yourself, to work hard for yourself. At that point, you should be increasing your knowledge, learning what there is to learn, and then implementing. You know, let me give you an example. When I was younger, once upon a time, I was younger and I thought, how do I get ahead? How do I make money? And I looked at drug dealers, and I, quite frankly, I thought maybe that's the way to go. Thankfully, I didn't go very far down that road. I'm very grateful for that. And if you've heard my story, you you probably know some of that. Once I got married, what did I do? I realized that there was something else I wanted, and I couldn't figure out what that was because I didn't have any mentorship. There was no one showing me, hey, how do you make money? How do you do this stuff? I didn't think that it was even possible that that could happen. I thought that was really something for other people. You had to go to the Ivy League schools and you have to have all these degrees. And that's how people make money. And what I found was that, A, there are things that you can do on your own, like reading. And I just happened to read a book, talked about making money in real estate. And I thought, what if I try that? And so I said, well, let me keep studying. And I kept reading and reading and reading and reading. I read something like 250 books in 2 years. And from that, taking that first step, buying that first income property, led me to ask questions. Who do I need to find next? Who are the mentors I need to get into my life? And the better questions I asked, the better the quality of the answer I got. And it allowed me to go from buying single family homes to multi-unit properties to being who I am now with private lending and helping and facilitating private lending for people. All of this stuff, teaching people how to make money in real estate. How did I get here? By taking little steps all along the way.